Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil, connected to Parashat Ekev. We are studying Darashat Semer. We're discussing a most important topic: how to land the plane of love, of Ahava, on the important relationships in our lives. As we've been learning, to love someone is very critical for your ability to help them, teach them, guide them, and to have a meaningful relationship with them. But to love someone is a very big art. No less than an artist that works hard to make beautiful pictures. Ahava isn't as simple as it sounds. Reaching the person where they're able to feel the ahava is one of the important missions of a person. And we've been studying different aspects and strategies how a person is able to ensure that the other person feels loved. Once they feel loved, then they have all the berachot that you can give them. There's so much that we can help people with. But we can't help anybody, or hardly anybody, if they don't feel loved by us. We spoke yesterday that it's very critical for a person in a meaningful relationship to step into the shoes of the other person. In the Hebrew language, ahava is sometimes, or at least in Aramaic, the word used for love is rahim, rahmanut. Like it says, man derahim rabbanan, someone who loves talmidei hachamim. It seemed that the word ahava, the word love, and the word rahmanut, to have compassion, to feel somebody's pain. You could only have compassion when you feel the pain of the person. That's why sometimes the person calls you on the phone, you may not feel the need to help them. But if you see them and you see their emotion, your compassion comes out because you're feeling their pain. To love someone and to have rahmanut on someone very much is connected. And the reason is because of what we said yesterday. That in order to love somebody, you have to be able to step into their shoes. You have to be able to understand the world and the situation from where they are. Very often you'll hear a wife tell someone or tell her husband that she doesn't feel loved. The husband doesn't know what she's talking about. How can she not feel loved? But what she means to say, in other words, she doesn't feel that her husband understands her. She doesn't feel that he understands what she needs when she needs it. Not necessarily big things. When a person doesn't feel loved by people who love them, it usually means that there are things about me that I am thirsty for. There are things that I need, and you're not loving me. Meaning, you're not being compassionate with me. Means you're not stepping into my shoes. means you don't really understand what's needed here. You may be giving me watches and necklaces and trips, but you're not understanding what I need. When people measure love, probably the most important item in their mind is this point. Does the person feel my needs? So don't make a mistake. When someone says they're not loved by their spouse, that's usually what it means. Because the other side will come and bring books. Each line will show another charge on the credit card. Here's one love, another love. I don't love you. Here's 30,000 reasons yesterday why I loved you. And more. But you're not talking to each other. You're proving how much you gave, and she is concerned about what she didn't receive. Most often, love by the recipient isn't measured by what you give them. Maybe it should be, but it's not. By little children, even as they get older, for sure it's not. A child, even if he's 20, he's still called a child. He thinks his parents are supposed to give him, just like every parent gives. They don't view what you give them as a sign of ahava. They view what you give them as a natural parent-child relationship. And therefore, you can give your children everything and anything, and they still can feel unloved. They could be 5 and they could be 50. Love isn't measured by most important relationships of what people are giving. It's measured by the rahmanut. It's measured by the compassion. Meaning, are you stepping into my shoes and understand what I need because you feel my pain or you feel my lacking? Ahava and Rahmanut are very much connected. To get into the mind of the person, when you get into the mind of the other person, things start to come together in a much clearer way. For example, if you're walking to shul on a Friday night, all dressed nicely with your son, and all of a sudden you see he finds a dirty stick that he picked off a tree. And he's walking around with a stick that's full of mud and full of dirt. So naturally the first thing you do is you take it, you break it in 3 pieces, and you throw it in the garbage. And you tell him, what are you doing? Look what you're wearing. You're making me and you dirty. And you have to understand, it's very important. It's hard for us to understand sometimes because we're very much on the go always. But to that kid, it could be the stick is like the stick of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's walking around with it and he thinks he has, who knows what he's imagining with that stick. In his eyes, he's got something very, very precious. He's thinking of Ahasuerus, the king, and his scepter. Who knows what he's thinking? And when you dismiss the stick so quickly, it shows you don't understand him. It shows you don't feel what he feels. It doesn't mean he should have the stick. But if you would understand him better, you'd handle it better. I know how important this is to you, but it's not the right time. a little different. You see a kid taking an apple and making applesauce with it with his hands, crushing it, putting it on his face, on his thing. You look at the kid, you say, what are you doing? What are you doing? You'd think he's doing it just to annoy you. But you have to imagine in a child's world, he doesn't even realize what you're talking about. In his mind, he's involved in something very enjoyable. Compassion is the ability to go into his mind. When you do that, you'll understand them better and you'll react better. You won't be as angry. You won't feel he's coming to get you. You'll understand he's a child. It's not possible to have rahmanut. It's not possible to have compassion without stepping in someone's shoes. And if you don't have compassion, it's not possible that you're going to be able to land in a real lasting way, ahava, constantly on a close relationship. No matter how much you give, no matter how much you buy. One of the beautiful strategies to keep in mind, I'm going to give you a couple, that can make a very big difference and they can apply to every person. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Kohelet, Et le'ehov. Such an interesting thing. There is a time to love. What does that mean? Time to love. Supposed to love all the time. Well, he says actually, Et lisno. There's even a time to hate. But we can say included in the words, Et le'ehov, is that there are certain moments in a relationship that are very critical and they're ripe to invest ahava. Don't miss the moments. Certain moments you don't want to miss. They're not long, they're not tedious, but they're moments that the atmosphere of that moment is able to receive love in a much more lasting and meaningful way. So watch out for them, because they can make a big difference. Ayat? Lehov. Time to love. And you should know that you'll realize that it must be something special, because the Yetzer Hara is strongest in those moments. When you see the Yetzer Hara very strong, you know it must be a very powerful moment. That's why he's got to fight to make sure you don't take advantage of that moment. One of the moments, especially for younger children, but they could be older too, is when they're going to sleep. When a person is going to sleep, it's a very special moment. It's a moment where things are calm, usually. And it's a ripe moment to share feelings of ahava with the person. That ahava not only takes them for the moment, but it takes them through the night. It's like planting ahava for 7 hours, for 8 hours. The way a person goes to sleep isn't just a last minute thing. It lasts through the night. A time when a person is going to sleep is a very beautiful time to show ahava with our words to our children and to anyone that we love, a spouse, an older child. Now, very often you'll see that that time in the house is the most tense. It's a half hour already. I told you to go to sleep. You're still not in your bed? Tension when they're going to sleep is a sign. It's a great moment. It's a very special moment. Maybe you have to tell them to go to sleep. Maybe you have to yell at them also. But make sure when they're going to sleep that you spend 2-3 minutes with them. 2-3 minutes with somebody going to sleep is an investment that has, there's endless results that come from such an investment. It's a few minutes in this quiet time. You're basically escorting them to their sleep with ahava. Don't blow that moment. Any meaningful relationship that you're around and the going to sleep is with ahava, it's huge. It's a moment. It's a et. Don't waste the opportunity. Go over to your teenage son and tell him how much you love him. Or just sit with him. Tuck him in. No phone, no distraction. It's a moment. A moment for your daughter, a moment for your son, a moment for your spouse. It's a moment. Don't blow it. It's a great moment to say something meaningful and loving. Another important time, very similar to going to sleep, is when people are leaving. You're with somebody and they're going. They're going to work, they're going to school, they're going shopping, they're going wherever they're going. When you part with somebody, it's another moment. It's a very special moment. Take advantage of it. Very often you see people leave the house. No one notices, nobody cares. They leave, they don't say goodbye. The other one doesn't say goodbye. Even if they say goodbye, it's like a, almost like a mandatory type of word that you have to say. But showing ahava when you're disconnecting from somebody is a huge investment. You're leaving them with such a beautiful feeling that stays with them even when you're not with them. It's a moment, it's an et. So escorting someone to sleep is a great moment. Escorting a person when they're leaving you or you're leaving them is a great moment. It's a great moment to show them ahava. Doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be a lot of words. It doesn't even have to be words in general. It could be a hug. It could be anything. It's something that we don't take advantage of enough because especially in close relationships, people are walking in and out all the time. So we lose track. How powerful it would be if a husband's walking out of the house and his wife escorts him out with ahava. Or vice versa. How powerful is that? Just want to walk you out. It's much more than the moment. When we speak about moments, it means that these moments are bigger than a moment. It means that there's some moments in life that can give you much bigger payoff. The way you escort somebody, the way you leave somebody, that investment is so big and so much felt for such a long time.
Wow.
So very similar, going to sleep and parting ways. It could be, again, it could be obviously family, but it could be even friends. You're going to sleep when usually he's not with friends. But you're having a meeting with somebody, you're finished. But when you leave, say goodbye. Again, we all make a mistake, and maybe we don't always take advantage, but that's why we're here to learn. Just sat for an hour with somebody. On the way out, make sure they feel loved. Easy, one word. The third area, the third et, the first two are very similar. The third one is when you first meet somebody. That first moment is a big moment. Because it shows what the last 8 hours were about. When you meet somebody, your son comes home at 4 o'clock. That initial moment describes to him what you've been thinking about for the last 8 hours when you didn't see him. A kid comes home and sees his mother for the first time, 4 o'clock. That moment is a big moment, because if there is ahava in that moment, that ahava started already from the last time you left him. That's how it's perceived. It means, I couldn't wait to see you. I'm so excited to have you back home. That's why there are many, many great women that will never allow someone else to receive their children when they come home from school. It's such a big mistake. Of course, sometimes it's not possible. Some situations are very hard. Everyone's got their situation. So there are definitely exceptions. But when possible, to be home when the child comes home so you can show them ahava is huge. And the same in every relationship. A Talmid walks into a class. The first initial thing, there has to be a hava. Each situation, obviously, in its own way. Sometimes it's a word, sometimes just a little pat on the shoulder. Sometimes it's just a look. Whatever it might be, it's a moment. So three moments that you can plant in a person certain feelings of ahava that will go a very long way. The time they're going to sleep and the time they're leaving you or you're leaving them and the time that you're just meeting again. Those moments are so big. You could try them and you will see the world around you change. Here you are spending millions of dollars trying to give someone love. And these few moments could add up way more than all of that. Because you're depositing a need for the person. When a person is leaving to go to sleep, there's a need to feel loved. And the same when they leave you, they want to feel that you're going to miss them. And when you see someone for the first time, there's a need to feel that I have been missing. Such a need, such a compassionate person who gives the person what they need is investing in a most powerful return. Both it's correct and you'll have great returns, because the person who feels loved automatically has a lot more to offer. One of the key elements that sometimes we ignore is that our words are important. our words to our children, whether we tell them we love them. Just yesterday, I never saw my son so happy, because I told him, I'm so happy that you were able to go on this trip. That was like a beautiful thing. I'm so happy. I didn't ask him what he did. I asked him, did you enjoy the trip? He said, it's great. I said, I'm so happy that you enjoyed the trip. That's a sentence of ahava. You don't have to say, a guy, I love you. Not always you have to say that. But when you're happy, when other people are happy, that means you love them. When he tells someone, I couldn't wait for you. I'm waiting so long. Finally, you got home. I couldn't wait. That's ahava. Sometimes the word love is used so often that it means absolutely nothing. So you have to find other ways that are really meaningful. You have to know when the other person hears the word, I love you, most times in today's world, it doesn't really register. It's like buying a card on someone's birthday. It doesn't really mean that much. It means something, but not that much. But if you say other types of words, oh, I was waiting for you. Can't wait to see you. Missed you. I'm so happy that you enjoyed your day. And many things like that. Those are real expressions that show ahava. We must learn how to use our words. One of the things I'd like to just add before we move on is that we can turn so many of our gifts into a gift of ahava, into a gift of love. How did we do that? We said before that no matter how much you give the person, not necessarily they feel ahava from the gift. But if a person is able to express that the reason why they're giving somebody is because you love them, so that helps them connect what you give them to ahava. I love making you dinner. Because I love to see you enjoy. Here's money for the trip. I love to give you so that you can enjoy your day. You gave money either way. But if you connect what you give to ahava, it turns the gift into something greater. Don't assume it's automatic. So any chance we're able to connect what we do with an expression to explain why we do is an investment in ahava. And here's one of the great investments in ahava that I want to share with you. And this is something that's very hard in our world, both for husband and wife and children and students. We have a very famous parasha in the Torah that talks about the punishment of the snake. Hashem told the Nahash, because of what he did to seduce Adam and Hava to go against Hashem, Hashem told them, Ve'afar tochal kol yemei hayecha, which means you're going to eat dirt all the days of your life. So some ask beautifully that that seems to be a very big blessing, because there's nothing more abundant in the world than dirt. You don't have to plant to get it. You don't have to work. You don't have to sweat. Dirt is abundant wherever you are. Anywhere in the world you go, you have plenty of dirt. It's cheap, it's free, it's abundant, it's easy. Imagine Hashem tells the Nahash, from now on, you're going to eat dirt your whole life. That means wherever you are, wherever you go, you're always going to have dirt available to you. It's like giving someone endless parnasa. It's like giving someone a credit card and say, whatever you need, it's always here with you. When a nahash, when a snake sees dirt, he sees lamb chops. To him, that's dinner. That's lunch. What a blessing. That's how you curse somebody? By giving them an abundance, endless supply of food? We have to work. We're making fun of the snake. We are the dibs. We got to get up early. We have to work hard. We have to go and make money. We have to go and buy things. We have to plant. We have to plow. We have to go shop. We have to cook. We have to prepare. The Nahash has the easy life. What people expect on a resort island, the Nahash has all his life. He's being served all day long. The earth is serving him. Wherever he goes, abundance of delicacies. What kind of curse is that? Hashem should have told him, because you didn't listen. So now instead of having to plant and plow and get fruits, it's going to take you 10 times the effort. You make it easier for him? That's a curse. And our rabbis explain beautifully. Such a beautiful explanation. And it has to do with this week's parasha. That the biggest curse in life is to lose your feeling of love from Hashem. If you walk around this world and you feel loved by God, you're in a very powerful place. You'll need him when things are going good. You'll need him when things are going not so good. You'll have him with you 24/7. To feel loved by the Creator makes such a powerful person. It gives a person courage. It gives a person energy. It gives a person life. There's so many people that walk around the world feeling unloved. While you can't necessarily control other people's love, one person, one Creator who loves you never stops. But the question is, do you feel it? There are many people who are loved by the Creator, but they don't feel it. That's why in this week's parasha it says, Ve'haya ekev tishme'un. Hashem says, I promise you, if you fulfill what you're supposed to be doing, Va'ahevecha means you will feel God's love in your life. When you feel Hashem's love in your life, there isn't a situation that doesn't change because of that love. Everything changes. The easy, the difficult. What a blessing to walk around life feeling loved. Feeling strong, energetic. We felt in life when things weren't feeling so loving. It made us weak. It made us unhappy. It made us complain. It made us give up. It made us nervous. It made us upset. It made us tired. Someone who feels love doesn't feel that way. Just look at a child when he gets home from school.
4 years old. Look at him. When he had a good day, which means when he felt love by his friends, by the people around him, look at how he is. He comes in and he's wants to talk to you, wants to tell you. And if he had a hard day, he didn't feel so loved, you could tell very quickly. Teenagers usually don't feel loved. So if you want to see someone who's not loved, watch how a teenager walks in the door and goes straight to his room. How was your day? Good. Bye. That's someone who doesn't feel loved. You could be upset with him. You could have claims on him. But you have to know where he is. He doesn't feel loved. You'll say, but I have 25 questions on that. Doesn't matter. That's what he feels. When you don't feel loved, you don't feel in the mood. You don't feel loved, you don't want to talk. You don't want to share. You want to be left alone. You're tired. You're drained. You just want to sleep. You don't want to wake up. These are all signs of people who don't feel loved. Who wants to wake up to a world where they don't feel the ahava? That's why you'll see people sleeping. Continue. They're not sleeping because they're tired. They're sleeping because they don't feel the ahava. They don't want to come back into the world where they feel a lack of ahava, hatred. They'd rather sleep. Feels more comfortable. Very often those people will stay up all night. It's not by accident. Because at night there's nobody around. You have to deal with less people, less things. So being up at night feels a little more safe. Because going out there, who knows who you're going to see? Who knows what they're going to say? Your father tells you something. Your mother tells you something. Your friend throws in a comment. The night's a little safer. You find your dark alley somewhere and you do your thing. During the daytime, sleep. Feeling loved makes a whole different human being. Hashem promises us that if we fulfill our mandate, the mandate He gave us has in it the ability to feel God's love. When we fulfill the mitzvot, when we do what we're supposed to be doing, God says, I promise you, va'ahevecha, you will feel my ahava. My ahava is always there, but you don't feel it because you're not in a good place, because your actions are off. But that's one of the, look how beautiful this is. Hashem says, you want to know what you get for doing the right thing? You know what you get for that? You get that you'll feel loved. That means feeling loved is the most important thing that I could hear. That's the reward of doing all the great. I would have thought, if I do great things, Hashem says, oh, you'll have success. You'll have beracha, which it does say after. Uberacha vehirbecha. Hashem will give you wealth. He'll give you children. He'll give you. It does say that. That if you do the right things, you'll get all those things. But the first thing it says is, va'ahevecha. Before He blesses you with money, He tells you, I'll bless you with feeling loved. Before He blesses you with children, He says, I'll bless you with feeling loved. That means feeling loved is right at the top. We go back to the Nahash. Hashem gave the Nahash the worst curse. Maybe He gave him all the parnasah. He gave him uberacha. He gave him money. He gave him parnasah. He gave him everything he needs. He gave him children. The Nahash has children. He gave him everything. Beracha, hirbecha, berach peri bitnecha. The Nahash has it all. But what he's missing is the most important. The first one. Va'ahevecha. Hashem says to Nahash, I'm no longer interested in you. I don't have an interest in you. Therefore, do not talk to me. Do not ask me for food. Do not pray to me. We don't have a relationship anymore. Your food will be there for you always. You never need me. The Nahash lost Vahevecha. He lost the love that comes from someone who shows interest in you. Hashem says, I lost interest in you. I'm not interested in having discussions with you. Don't talk to me, I won't talk to you. You're on your own. Tell your son, here's a credit card. Charge whatever you want for the rest of your life. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. But don't call me. Sounds great. Who doesn't want an open credit card for the rest of their life? What a bracha. Comes home to his friends. He can't believe what happened to them. My father gave me an open credit card for the rest of my life. Wild. Everyone's going crazy. Mabruk. Let's throw a party on you. Go for it. They tell him, what's any side factors here? He said, yeah, one thing is, I have to move out, and my father never wants him to hear from me again. Now, for a young man, maybe that doesn't seem so important. Big deal. Who cares? You got your father's card. Let him not talk to you for the rest of time. Who cares? That's what it would seem like. In today's world, that would be a good trait. I bet if you gave that trait to a lot of young men and young ladies, they would say, great. My father is disposable. Go ahead. Put him in the recycle bin. I don't need him. I mean, when he gives me money, I need him. But if he gives me all the money, I don't need him at all. I was waiting for the inheritance. But now that I got the card from now, it's fine. Let him do his thing. Sounds a little not nice. But I'm telling you that most people probably, without thinking, would say, what's the big deal? If I had one, I'd love to. I don't mind both. But if I had to choose one or the other, endless money, or love for my father, I'll take the money. Big deal. But the Torah says in this week's parasha, not like that. You may not realize that's why you're reacting this way, because you're ignorant. But the love that you get from your father is greater than the money he gives you. You may not realize it. You may not appreciate it. Because it's not tangible. Money is tangible. You have $10, you have $1 million, you have 10, okay, fine. You understand tangible things because you're a physical, tangible person. You don't understand. Your wisdom is not there. When there's no wisdom, you could only see things that you touch and feel and count. But the love that your father has for you, the attention he gives you, it's not tangible, not important, not that important. Comes the Torah and says, it's the most important. Va'ahevecha, nothing more important than Hashem says, I am interested in you. And therefore, the greatest gift you can give another person is to show interest in their life. When I show interest in somebody, that is a display of ahava on the highest level. That's the curse of the Nahash, where Hashem showed him a lack of interest. And unfortunately, there are many, many parents, well-meaning parents, well-meaning. There are many marriages, well-meaning marriages, and many relationships that are well-meaning. but they're missing this point. They think that it's gonna happen through the tangible things. My marriage is gonna happen and be blessed through the tangible, through the house I buy, through the car I get, through the jewelry, through the money. And very often when you have a lot of tangible things, it makes it even more difficult to think that there's something else missing. If a guy has nothing to give his wife or give his children, so at the very least he can give them some ahava. That's why you'll find by people who don't have much, very often their children are healthier. Not always, but you'll find that people who are poor have a better relationship with their children. Because they have nothing else to give them. They can't buy them a boat, they can't buy them a car, they can't take them, like, what are you do? So if I have a car, they give them love, they give them attention, so they can give them. But when you have so much to give your children, you feel you already did your job. I gave plenty of things, I'm done. And you missed Vahevecha. You missed the most critical, the most important. There are so many people today that feel like the Nahash from people around them that are supposed to be interested in them, but they're not. Husbands not interested in their wives. They're not interested. Interested mean they're not interested to hear what's going on with them. They're not interested to hear what their struggles are. They're not interested to share with them their feelings about certain things that they need to express or they need to hear from them. No interest. Yeah, we live together, we have a relationship, we take care, but there isn't an interest in the other person. Sitting a child down and talking to him privately for 2-3 minutes with an interest in what's going on in his life is so powerful. Your 50-year-old needs it. Your 50-year-old needs his father to show an interest in what he's going on in his life, in his struggles, in his success. But you gotta be careful that when you show interest, it has to come by stepping in his shoes, not yours. Because if you show interest in your way, you're in trouble. Because very often when you show interest in somebody else and they have a little problem, you'll say, ah, come on, it's not a big deal. Come on, stop it already. By tomorrow, you'll forget about it already. Soon you're getting married. This makes no difference. Stop it already. Get over it. It's not a big deal. How many times do we try to show interest and we take the person and we make him even smaller? That's not called showing interest. Because you're holding in your shoes. You don't have this issue right now, so you're giving them advice and belittling the things they struggle with. You could tell them things like, it's not as important as you think, but you first have to tell them how much you are in pain for them. I feel your pain. I understand you're in pain. I get it. Hurts me that you're in pain. Then you can advise them maybe. But to belittle their issues, that's not called an investment of ahava. That's why you need rahmanut for ahava. You got to step in their shoes. You have to know that they're in pain about this, and you saying it's not a big deal is not really making them feel loved. It's actually making them feel ignored. When a person understands the curse of the Nahash, he will make an effort to show interest in the people around him. One of the things to be careful from is to be a good listener. If you're not listening, if you're distracted, if you're not paying attention, you don't need to pay attention for hours. 2 minutes. A 2-minute conversation
that is of interest to hear what the person is saying. It's such an investment in ahava. Even if you don't say a word, you're just listening. Now you might try this today at home with your son and it won't work because he's already burnt out from you. Because he's tried it many times where your mind is everywhere else but the conversation. He says one thing, you're talking about something else, then you didn't even hear what you didn't hear what he had to say. It'll take a little time for him to get comfortable to talk to you. Because when you don't show interest in somebody, you're belittling them, so they have no interest in talking to you. Make sure when you show interest, you don't interrupt, especially for things that are not important. Yeah, Dad, I was in school today. I got there 8:05, and 8:05, I thought school starts at 7:55. 8:05? Really? See, that's a silly interruption. Don't interrupt. Very often we feel the need to interrupt. And we don't let them get to the point. We cause traffic jams in the conversation. He's coming to tell you something, and you're blocking it with all different comments about things that are not important. Let the guy say his piece. If he said something wrong, wait till the end. You'll correct him after. There is an art of how to show interest in somebody. First, you have to be interested. Second, you have to know that it's very, very meaningful to them when you're interested. That will give you more reason to be interested. It means stepping in their shoes. It means feeling their pain, feeling their celebration. It means hearing about their life because since you love them, it's like part of your life. That's all. The added benefits of this, besides that they feel loved, you also get to know about what's going on in their life. They get to tell you about who they're friendly with, about where they went out with, who they spoke to, who they're not comfortable with. You get to hear a lot of things that you may never hear from them because they don't talk to you. Of course, you have to be careful not to use that against them. On Tuesday, they spoke to you about something very important. You were interested. And on Wednesday, you used it against them. Because you tell them on Wednesday, oh, so how'd you do that on Monday? Oh, I thought on Monday I was talking to you like in a very safe zone. Use it against me now? You gotta be careful. This is one of the greatest parts, probably the greatest part of a relationship, is to realize va'ahevecha, to realize that the greatest thing you could do for your spouse, for your children, for your students, is that they should feel loved. In order to do that, you have to have rahmanut. You have to have compassion, meaning you have to step into their shoes. And you have to see the world through their eyes and react accordingly. And you have to show interest in what's going on in their life without having to interrupt or having to comment. You don't have to solve a problem every time your son talks to you. You feel like we have to be the Mashiach for them every time. Oh, just do it this way. Just do that. You don't have to do anything. I just want to know what's going on. That's it. It's all we're doing now. We are listening to what's going on in your life. And even if there's something that can be fixed, I'm not even going to talk about it. Because this is not my job, right? And then we take advantage of the moments, the moments that can be such a long-term investment in a short period of time. The moment that goes to sleep, the moment that a person leaves or parts ways, and the moment that people connect for the first time. Those moments are not just moments for themselves. They're moments that are much bigger than the moment. Fortunate are the people who know how to put clothing of wool on the people that they love and make them feel warm and make them feel appreciated, because you're giving them the greatest gift that you can give them, much more than anything else physical that you can count. Have a wonderful day.